We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. What a beautiful day we had today. We'll be leaving on Friday, men. Going down to Wesley Chapel, or over to Wesley Chapel. I looked at the map. It's kind of over. It's kind of north of Tampa. Kind of over by Lando Lakes or something like that. And I thought we'd stop in Plant City at the Golden Corral and eat, if y'all want to, going down. So we can actually leave at 11 if you want. Or we can leave at 10:30 and still get there. It'd still be fine. The only one I see missing is Brother Victor. You want to leave at 11? No? Don't matter?
No, don't matter.
Don't matter? All right, let's leave at 11. Brother Bill, will you let Brother Victor know? Text him. I don't see him. And we have a slot open if somebody would like to go. We have two. So if you want to go, see me after church so I can get your name, any of your men that would like to go with us. We have two slots open. We'd like to have them filled, and y'all go with us. It'd be a blessing. It'd be a blessing to you, 18 years and above. 18 years old and above, if you would like to go. And then junior camp, there will be a sign-up sheet put up on the board Sunday. Okay, there'll be a sign-up sheet over here. You need to start signing up for junior camp. And by the, not next Sunday, the Sunday after that, you'll need a $10 deposit turned in as well for junior camp. Senior camp's already taken care of. If you are a senior and would like to go, we may can get you in. May. If you want to go, you need to see my wife for me to see my wife, because I'll be busy after church. If you want to go, if you're a senior age camper and would like to go, you need to see my wife tonight, because we need to really, it's almost booked out. I think it may be too late. But if you'd like to go, we'd like to try at least to get you in. You'd have to see her tonight, and you'll need $25 by Sunday. Well, you say, "Preacher, I would like to go, but I don't have the $25. If you would see me, we got ways you can get $25. We do. If you'll just see me. But if you're silent to it and you're closed up and clammed, we can't help you. We've got a good church, a good people that love the Lord and love to help, and they're willing to help. There's things that you can do. Spider webs galore, girls, I'm telling you. I mean, just take your hands and get them spider webs all out. No, we will get you something. If you'll just see me. And the same thing for the juniors. You say, "Preacher, I'd like my kid to go, but the economy is bad." You know, we understand that. But you have to tell us so we can help. And we'll help. We'll do. Listen, we'll do everything in our power to get kids under preaching for a week. I mean, I'm talking three times a day preaching, devotions at night before you go to bed, and away from TV and PS3. Listen, that's enough alone. You know, one day. But I'm talking 5 days. What could happen with the Word of God just digging, pricking, getting it, folks. So if you want to go, the sign-up sheet for junior camp will be on the board. It is the last month in June. The last week in June. And please sign up. By the following Sunday, you'll need a $10 deposit turned in Again, if you can't make that deposit, do not let pride keep your kids from going. Please, don't let that happen at all. Nobody, I promise you, will look down upon you for helping. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we just want to be a blessing and a help to them. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. We'll be in verse 10 tonight. We had our introductory to 1 Corinthians. We went back to Acts chapter number 18, and covered the whole chapter, because that's where that Paul left Athens and went down into Corinth. And last week we went over verses 1 through 9, and tonight we're going to go over verses 10 through 16. 10 through 16. Be in prayer for people with allergies, because I'm telling you, this time of the year, it's a blessed time, but boy, pollen's up, dust dry, and it gets people, and we'll pray that it doesn't get them too bad. Now, you don't want them getting pneumonia or anything like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, we'll read down to verse 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. I'm going to tell you something. Our fleshly carnal state, what we see, brings a lot of contention when we're in the midst of carnality. Now, I'm going to tell you, the standing that we enjoy is in Christ Jesus, and we're secure forevermore. We are. I'm going to tell you, it is a task, and a task that should be readily at hand for every believer to seek to bring their state as near as their standing as possible. Now, our state is what we are right now. It's how we are, our state of mind. Our standing secure. We're in Christ Jesus. We're in heaven, seated already. We're secure in Christ. But I'm telling you, our state of being right now, what we are, tomorrow, what we will be. We need to work as hard as we can to join our state and standing as close as possible. I'm going to tell you, our earthly condition, it can get pretty bad. But our heavenly condition, it's wonderful. I've not seen, ear if not heard. And we get looking around at everything that's around us, what's going on, and who's in what office, and who's not in what office, and you know, what jobs we have, what jobs we don't have. And sometimes we get our affections off of things above. We get our sights off of where we are. Understand something, dear friend. We are here for a temporary stay. You ever been traveling somewhere like in a metro area such as Orlando, you'd see them, these temporary weekly stays. You can get a hotel for, it looks like a hotel's apartment for a week stay for whatever, $279 a week or whatever. That you come in there, you're going to stay for, or just, listen, that is what we're temporarily here on this earth. Listen, dear friend, we're passing through. Oh, praise God that we ain't here forever. Thank the Lord that there's heaven to look forward to. But we are more than conquerors. What did Jesus say? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Listen, we can have our state of being closely connected with our standing in Christ. If we only keep our eyes and affections on things above and understand that, hey, what happens right now to me is only allowed to happen to me because of my standing or where I am, my state is with Christ. I'm saved, I'm secure, I'm His, I'm sealed. My dear friends, at times I just fool around with this whole world and tinkle around in this world, and the stains of this world just gets upon me. And listen, when the stains of this world are upon me, I cannot, without coming to God in repentance, stand in His presence. And we all get that away. We do. I know we look at people that are in the grossest of sins and think, oh my Lord. The other day, it's an amazing thing. About once a week, maybe every 2 weeks, I go snooping on Facebook. Just see where our members are. See what y'all into. So I know what to preach about. No, I don't do that. But somebody, it wasn't none of our church members, I don't know who it was, but somehow it got on my wall, and it was a picture of a young man. Somebody had placed it, and it said this. I think it was, what's your first thought? And bless his soul, he had whatever they call them things. Who? Gauges? Had gauges in his ear. He had them in his cheek. He had them in his lip. He was a young man, and he was scarred up and messed up, had gotten look. Listen, and that was his thought. What is your first thought? I said, well, there must have been 1,700 different comments. So I said, I wonder what people are really saying. So I clicked on it just to see. And every one of them was negative. About 55 down, Sister Barbara, there was one said, pray for his soul. I don't know who the person was. Wasn't one of my friends, wasn't my picture. But 50, 60 down into those comments, there was one said, pray for his soul. See, we get to looking at somebody like that and we justify our lying. We justify our anger. Well, I'm going to tell you, dear friend, just as much as that affects you visually, your lying affects God the same way. Because in His sight, dear friend, it was disobedience to send His Son to the cross of Calvary that you and I might have eternal life through Him. It wasn't Adam running around with gauges in his ear snorting coke. It was Adam choosing to be disobedient. I'm telling you, dear friend, our state of being can get pretty gross in the sight of a holy and righteous God. But when He looks down through heaven and looks down through those clouds down to this old earth, and He sees us, Brother David, He sees the blood of Christ, and He sees His child, and He loves us. Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren. Isn't it amazing he can call them brethren with contentions, with heresies, with strife, sedition, fornication? He could look at them and say, I beseech you, brother. I beseech you, brother. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear? This is a plea. Can you hear the plea in the writing? Can you hear the beckoning, the begging? He's pleaded and he's made a plea. Hey, dear friend, in such a way that it's into the name of Christ. I beseech you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He pleads for unity in speech. He pleads for unity of mind. He pleads for unity in judgment. I beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Oh, Paul pleads for the end of division. Why? Because he understands something. A church that's divided, dear friend, is conquered already from within. Hey, we can't march forward for Christ if half the church or a quarter of the church or a third of the... If one family of the church desires to go the opposite direction from what the church is going, dear friend, you have division. We're fitly framed and joined together, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul pleads for the division to stop. He pleads for unity of mind. He pleads for the same judgment. He pleads for them in verses 11 and 12 that they disband their silly fan clubs. I'm telling you, fan clubs will get you in trouble. Verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. What contentions? Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. You know what's the amazing thing? As I study through here and look through here, I can't find a place that even references or shows that Cephas was even close to Corinth at all. But yet some of them is claiming Cephas. Isn't that amazing? Now he may have went through there. I'm telling you, I didn't search every theological book I could find. I didn't. But I did look through the Bible. Nowhere does it mention that Cephas was near Corinth. But some of them said, hey, I'm a Cephas. I'm telling you, dear friend, there's one fan club that we need to be a member of. And that's the fan club of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be like this, dear friends. Just to put it so we can understand it. With the great history of Lock Haven Baptist Church and the great men of God that have served and worked here and ministered here and labored here from the beginning until now. That'd be like some of us saying, well, I like Lock Haven, but I'm under I'm a brother Franks. I like Lock Haven, but I'm of Brother Beard. I like Lock Haven, but I like Pastor Stockton. You know, that it would cause so much trouble. It sounds a little far fetched, doesn't it? But that's what happened. Right there is what happened. Fan clubs. Let me tell you, listen, they were divided over men. There's a lot of churches that way. That's why I'm just different. That's why I don't like this denominationalism. Well, they got some president up here and some vice president, some secretary, somebody down here that's a local watchover that can say, hey, you've stayed at that church long enough. Let's go ahead and move you somewhere else. Well, good gravy. I could have invited him over to my house and burned his steak, and he got mad and Next thing I know, 6 months down the road, I've moved and gone somewhere else. Why? Because it's a man worship. It's all. Listen, there's Jesus Christ, the head of the church, with an under-shepherd, with officers, of deacons, with members, fitly joined together, framed together. Should be divisions over men. Paul said, listen, is Christ divided? The obvious answer is no. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Lord of this church and head of this church 60-something years ago is still the same Lord and head of this church. He's just allowed and blessed and allowed some godly men to work and stand and hold the office of the of pastorate. But it's all about Christ. All about Christ. He said, was Paul crucified for you? Hey, what did I do? Hey, were you baptized in my name? And listen, he pleads with them. Hey, listen, it was well known there was contention because Paul heard about it all the way from the house of Chloe. That's what it said in verse 11. What? Listen, strifes and contentions don't stay secret, dear friend. If there's a problem with Brother Jim and I, it don't just stay secret. It spills over. And then something has to happen. Somebody has to choose whether or not they're going to be with Brother Jim. They're going to choose what happened. What happened? Then what do you have? Contentions. That's why as mature Christians and believers in the Lord, we need to work things out among ourselves. Because what happens, if there was contention, then Brother Jim and I cause other people to stumble because of our pride. Paul said, was you baptized in my name? Listen, Christ is not divided, dear friend, and I'm telling you, neither should his people be. But it happens all the time, doesn't it? You go back and you study through the history of churches, local New Testament churches I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some universal, invisible thing. I'm talking about local New Testament church where they got real people with hurting people, hurting minds, hurting hearts, with personalities. And go back and see most of the time that there's been a split. I'm going to tell you, a majority of the time there's been a split, it's never doctrinal. It's always personality or personal. Always. In the majority of the time. And what happens? Well, I'm of him and we're going to go this way and we're going to go that way. Listen, it ought to be all about Jesus. All about Jesus. How sad it is when people divide up over personalities in the church. Look over 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 3. This is what happened when you do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 3. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. You find yourself choosing up sides with men. Know for sure you're in the middle of carnality. You're not walking a spiritual walk. Whenever you find yourself trying to organize a clique, a club, a group within inside the church, it's all in carnality. You're walking a walk of carnal mindset. Does it happen? Sure it happens. It's just the natural thing for people to gravitate one way or the other, but we have to guard against it because what happens whenever you do that? Strifes, contentions, bitterness. Oh, that group over there, they don't like me. Well, nobody never said that. What happened?
got in the mind. You know where we lose the battle? In the mind. You know what happens? They start missing. They don't like me. Nope. Uh-oh. None of the deacons shook my hand today. They're against me. What happened? In the mind. That's what I'm telling you. Divisions cause it. Strifes, contentions. They miss, they miss, they miss till they fall out. All in the mind. All in the mind. That's why Paul pleaded. Same speech, same mind, same judgment. You're fitly joined together. Hey, be careful. Be very careful. Listen, we don't want to have division, strifes, and contentions. We want to be mature Christians, work things out, talk them out, and keep our hearts in line with the Lord Jesus. And then he begins to talk to them about the view of baptism and correctly looking at it in the way he should. If you would, go back to verse 13, chapter number 1. He says there, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. They all had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the name? In His authority. How did He say do it? Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's what it's talking about. In the authority. How Jesus said to do it. You weren't baptized in Paul's name. You weren't baptized in Apollos' name. Paul had baptized very few in this church. Evidently, some were boasting about who baptized them. Listen, dear friend. Baptism is an ordinance of the church. And our church can determine and decide who does the baptism. Who does the baptizing? Our church has said it is a duty of the pastor. But we could say, tonight, Brother Bernie has a grandson and he got saved and he would like to baptize him and would like to present to the church the authority to allow Brother Bernie to baptize. And what the church said, yes, that's fine with us. And what? Brother Bernie gets there baptized. He's not baptized in Brother Bernie's name. He's still baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus and His authority. The authority lies within the church. So these yahoos, renegades run out here and just start baptizing down at the local cemetery, a local creek. Cemetery. Local creek. With no authority. Well, you have to have an authority. And Paul was saying, listen, stay with the authority. The authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He said do it. I don't know if I can even get this here clear thought across to you in a good manner, because I'm not good at even trying to get you to understand this. But when you go down there to the bank with a check and you present that check, I give Brother Graham a check and I say, Brother Graham, here's you a check for $100. Go down there and check, sign it. Go down there and cash it. He goes down there, but I don't sign it. He hands it to them. They don't just give him the money. Why don't they give him the money? There's been no authority for them to give the money. He brings it. I said, Preacher, you didn't sign it. Oh, yeah, I signed it. What happened? He goes back down there, and what happens? They give him the money. Why? Because he said so? Because I gave it my authority. We baptize in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, like He said do it in Matthew chapter number 28. In the way He said do it, and how He said do it. And we have to understand that Paul said, listen, I plead with you, stay with it correctly. Paul's position on baptism, dear friend, was not minimized at all right here. He taught that converts should be baptized, and they should be. That's what he taught. He just said, hey, Timothy, hey, Silas, boys, get over there and start baptizing. I've got some other things to do. Now, he did baptize, but he didn't minimize it. And he stayed with him. He said, hey, keep it correct. Paul had baptized very few, and I believe it was evident why. There was a lot of boasting going on around here about who baptized who and who baptized this one, baptized this. They'd got it out of order. It wasn't about who the individual that was laying them in the water that was doing it. It was about the one it represented. The death, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Identifying with Christ. And Crispus, over in Acts 18, 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord and his whole house. And Paul was there. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were what? Baptized. Paul said, listen, guys, your strife, your contention, it's not private. The house of Chloe has heard about it. They brought me word. And now it's spilling over into a doctrine. That's what happens. Division, strife, contentions, dear friend, will divide doctrine. We've got to be careful. Got to be careful. And Paul plead with them for unity, speech of mind, and same mind in judgment. He pleaded with them about their fan club. Said, "Hey guys, stop this. It's not good for the church at Corinth. It's not good, these fan clubs." And he said, "This is why it's bothering the doctrine. It's bringing division in the doctrine. It's weakening." The local New Testament church. We've got to be careful we not get involved in that. That's why it's so important that we all have the same mind on the Bible, the doctrines and teachings of the Word of God. It's why it's so good that we have the same mind on eternal security, the same mind on baptism, same mind on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if a third of us thought it was coming after the tribulation and the rest of us thought it was pre-trib and pre-millennial, listen, we'd have all kind of troubles. What would happen? Nobody'd work together. That's why it's so important to be of the right mind, the same speech, same judgment. That's why, dear friend, listen, Sunday school teachers, listen, it's important that you teach them kids that this Bible is absolute. Because I'm going to keep on hammering it. I'm going to tell them every chance I get, this Bible is absolute and it's sure and it's with all authority, settled forever in heaven. But if you don't teach them that in that Sunday school classroom, they come out and hear me and they say, man, there's something going on here. Sunday school teachers got questions about whether or not Jonah was really swallowed by a whale or not. Preacher said it's absolute. Amen. Then we raise up a bunch of youngins who don't know what to believe. Let's stand to our feet. I plead with you, church, like Paul pleaded with them. Let's have the same mind on that Bible, on the Lord Jesus Christ, on local church. Make the same judgments together based on the absolute Word of God. Not on opinions, not on culture, society. But if the Bible says so, they're different. That's what it is. Just simply because the Bible said it. What page, brother?